नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशदारे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। So last week we completed recapping the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The week before that we completed the second chapter, and last week in the session we did a brief recap of the whole chapter. So today we will start the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And the third chapter is titled as Karma Yoga. That is the title of the chapter. So today in this chapter we will learn about Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? And I think this is a very critical chapter, in a sense that lot of common doubts that we have as to what is expected of devotees, what should devotees do, what should they not do, what is meant for whom, and then discussions about Varnashrama and all those things. A lot of it will get clarified in this chapter. So please feel free to stop me anytime in between. And if there are any discussion points, comments, questions, please do not hesitate. We can have a nice churning. So this is a chapter with lot of potential for lot of good discussions, even though it is not directly speaking about Bhakti Yoga. Even though this chapter is not about Bhakti Yoga, but still this is relevant in the sense at least we know that what is meant for whom, who is expected to do what, whether is this relevant for a devotee or not. All those things will, those subject matters will be clarified in this particular chapter. So please feel free to interrupt me anytime in between and we can have a discussion. Okay, so let us start the chapter. The chapter starts with a question asked by Arjuna. So let us start with the verse. Arjuna uvacha jayasi et karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tat kim karmani ghore mam niyojayasi keshava. So he says, Arjuna is asking, Te Mata, my dear Krishna, if in your opinion, Karmanaha Buddhihi Jayasi Chet, if in your opinion, Karmanaha, in comparison with Karma or action, Buddhihi Jayasi, if buddhi or intelligence is better than action, O Janardana, kim mam niyojayasi, then why you are engaging me tad ghore karmani, in this terrible action, O Keshava? So now, basically the question is, if in your opinion, intelligence is better than karma, because in that section, he was talking about Buddhi Yoga. So he was glorifying Buddhi Yoga. And Arjuna thought, oh, Buddhi Yoga means to use intelligence and not work. Actually, that's how he thought. Buddhi Yoga means to use one's intelligence. He thought it means Jnana Yoga, to give up all action and perform. And just engage in studying the scriptures. That's what he thought. You glorified Buddhi Yoga so much, but at the same time, you are also telling me to fight. I mean, tell me what I should do. So what exactly do you want me to do? So why he is asking this question? Let us see. So Śrīla Viṣṇu-ācārya Thakura writes, in the third chapter, action offered to the Lord without personal desire is described. action offered to the Lord without personal desire. So here action means varnashrama actions. Okay. And without personal desire means without material desires. Okay. But they do desire liberation. Okay. So, when an action is performed and the fruit is offered to Krishna, is that Bhakti Yoga? My question to you is, when an action is performed and the fruit is offered to Krishna, is that Bhakti Yoga? Okay, someone says yes. Others also please answer. You can use your chat box to answer the question. When an activity is performed and the fruit is offered to Krishna, is that Bhakti Yoga or not? Okay, more people are answering yes. Practically, okay, everyone says yes. Okay. Almost everyone has answered yes only. The answer is, it depends on okay, Sachi Pran Prabhu says, if its intention is clear as pure devotional service. Well, okay, this is where the first discussion arises. Okay. So now, let us try to understand just Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Only the three of them. Okay. Only the three. Let's just try to understand. So first is Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. Okay. In Sakama Karma Yoga, what is performed? Varnashram activities. Okay. And in Nishkama Karma Yoga, what is performed? Varnashram activities. In Bhakti Yoga, what is performed? Devotional activities. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam. Okay. So, for what purpose? So, in Sakama Karma Yoga, for what purpose Varnashram activities is performed? For sense gratification. Okay. And for what purpose Varnashram activities are performed in Nishkama Karma Yoga? For for purification of heart. This is the immediate desire and ultimately for liberation. Okay. And for what purpose devotional activities are performed by a Bhakti Yoga, by a Bhakti Yogi? For pleasing Krishna. Okay. So, he performs, so a Bhakti Yogi performs those activities which are pleasing to Krishna, and he performs those activities for pleasing Krishna. So the activities are also pleasing to Krishna, and he is performing them also for the pleasure of Krishna. Okay. So, what about the fruits? Okay. So, a Sakama Karma Yogi, he wants to enjoy the fruits. Okay. And a Nishkama Karma Yogi offers the material fruits to Krishna in order to enjoy liberation. He says, you take the material fruits and give me liberation. Okay. And in bhakti, there are, in one sense, actually, if you see, there are no, he accepts some material fruits of practicing bhakti. He accepts some material fruits as mercy of Krishna. He may accept it. Okay. So therefore, if a person performs his varnashram activities and offers the fruits to Krishna, it is not bhakti. Bhakti means where the person performs devotional activities for pleasing Krishna. Okay. And there is no question of devotional activities. Anyway, he is not performing for any material activities at all, for any material fruits at all. Okay. So therefore, therefore you cannot say that if someone performs his varnashram activities and offers the fruit to Krishna, that is not bhakti actually. That is varnashram. That is nishkama karma yoga. That is not bhakti. Okay. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, in the third chapter, action offered to the Lord without personal desire is described. Action means varnashram actions. Offered to the Lord without personal desire. It means without material desires, but they do desire liberation. Okay, that is there. So, he says the discrimination necessary for a person desiring to conquer over lust and anger is shown. So this is first topic. Lakshmana Chakradakur is first starting his purport to this first verse by describing what is the contents of the chapter. Okay. So how Nishkama Karma Yoga is practiced will be described, and how does one conquer lust. So this is second topic. Okay. So conquering lust. This is the second topic. Having accepted the superiority of bhakti, which is transcendental to the gods over jnana yoga and nishkama karma yoga, jnana yoga and nishkama karma yoga in previous statements, now manifesting his own eagerness for knowledge, Arjuna in a friendly manner censures the Lord, who is encouraging him to fight according to his dharma. So Arjuna is asking, "Are aapne hi buddhi 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 bol diya? You know, you have glorified buddhi buddhi so much. But now, why are you encouraging me to fight according to my dharma? You have glorified bhakti." You have glorified bhakti to be superior to jnana yoga and nishkama karma yoga. So then why you are now encouraging me to fight according to my dharma? Kshatriya dharma, which is you are pushing me to perform varnashram duty. So he says, if fixed intelligence, buddhi, or that is bhakti, transcending the gunas is superior, then why do you engage me in this terrible action in the form of war? He is asking. So that is the question. If bhakti is superior, then why are you engaging me in war, which is terrible? Right, which is terrible. Why should you engage me in this war? Main shravan kirtan karke rehta hu na. I will just chant and hear and do study Bhagavatam. Why should I engage in this ghastly warfare of fighting on the battlefield? O Janardana, by your order you are causing pain to your own associate. Jana means your own associate. Ardana means pain. You are Janardana, and you are making, you are rightly called Janardana because you are causing pain to your own friend, which is myself. You have glorified bhakti so much. You have told me Trigunya Vishaya Veda and Strigunya Bhavarjuna. Oh, Arjuna, the Vedas are made of only three, the Vedas talk about only subject matter within the three modes. Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, transcend three modes, which means perform bhakti. But now again you are asking me to fight on the battlefield according to my, which is my Varnashrama duty, which is according to my, which is according to my guna and karma. So why? If you have glorified bhakti, then why you are pushing me to fight? So he says, it is also not possible to avoid following your order, O Keshava, controller of even Brahma and Shiva. So, but at the same time, he is addressing him as Janardana and Keshava. So Janardana means one who causes pain to his own people. That is how sarcastically he is addressing Krishna as Janardana. But at the same time, he says, you are also Keshava. So Keshava means, here Keshava means, Kaha means Brahma. And Isha means Lord Shiva. And Va means Vayase, to control. Okay. So he says, so Keshava means one who controls even Brahma and Lord Shiva. So so therefore he says that I cannot not follow your order, because even Brahma and Lord Shiva are controlled by you. So I have to follow your orders. So that's what he is telling here. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir Janardana. Takkim karmani gore mam niyo jayasi keshava. If fixed intelligence, yavasayatmika buddhi, you have glorified us. If fixed intelligence or bhakti transcending the gunas is superior, then why do you engage me in this terrible action in the form of war? Why are you engaging me in this? This is what Arjuna is asking. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions here before we move ahead? Yes, Sachi Pranku.
Prabhuji, Dandatpanam, Prabhuji.
Dandatpanam.
Prabhuji, when you ask the question first, doubt this, the first sloka with
Prabhu, you muted yourself. I don't know why. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji. Now it's clear?
You muted yourself.
My voice is not audible.
Now it's audible, bro. Now it's audible. In between, you muted yourself.
Okay, Prabhuji.
We could not hear. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, Prabhuji. So, Prabhuji, the first question you asked, the Nishkam Karma Yoga and Sakam Karma Yoga, and you are asking the question to us, okay, what is whether it is bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
So, the when person offers with intention of, pleasing to Krishna, that means that is only bhakti, no? The intention is to please Krishna, or that is only considered as bhakti, no?
Yeah.
The flower which is offered to please Krishna, is neither he is asking for any liberation, or neither he is have any desire to person's gratification, or asking some fruits for better bodily strength, something like that. So neither sakam karma nor nishkam karma. When he is offering flower to the intention to please Krishna, that means it is bhakti yoga.
Correct. You are right. But that is one aspect of it.
Okay.
But what action to perform. That also is important. Mm. What action am I supposed to perform? So, a Nishkama Karma Yogi offers the fruits to Krishna, but when it comes to what actions to perform, he will decide on an action which is according to his Varna and Ashrama. So he will perform those actions and offer the fruits to Krishna. So when it comes to, okay, what actions I need to perform, he will ask the Dharma Shastras. He will ask the Dharma Shastras, what are my duties? So the Dharma Shastras will say, oh, you are a Brahmana. So patan patan, yajan, nyajan, dana, pratigraha. So do these actions. Do these activities. So he will do it. And whatever material fruits may come, he may offer those material fruits to Krishna. So so that is Nishkama Karma Yogi. But when it comes to a devotee he will perform only those activities which are pleasing to Krishna. Whereas Nishkama Karma Yogi will choose those activities which are according to his Varna and Ashrama, which is according to his Dharma. According to his Varna Ashrama Dharma. Whereas a devotee will choose those activities which are, the activities themselves are pleasing to Krishna. And he will ask the Bhakti Shastras, what is my duty? So the Bhakti Shastras will say, oh, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasam Sakyam Atma Nivetam. These are the activities which are your duty, because your goal is to please Krishna. And even though a Nishkama Karma Yogi may be offering the fruits of his activities Krishna, but the purpose of offering the fruits to Krishna is liberation. He wants liberation. Whereas a devotee, when he is performing devotional activities for the pleasure of devotional activities, his goal is pleasure of Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, he wants to establish a relationship with Krishna. That's all. So this is what differentiates Nishkama Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga.
Okay. But someone who doesn't know about his Varna only, so and he is performing activities, so why he will seek Dharma Shastra? Because whatever he is doing, suppose he is just taking a flower and offering to Krishna. So in that case, he is offering the flower in the intention of pleasing Krishna. So that falls under bhakti only, no?
Yeah, that falls under bhakti only.
So that falls under bhakti. So Nishkam Karma Yogi, suppose Arjuna, whether he is offering flower, someone is offering flower, or someone is offering an arrow. So is it the same? If someone is offering flower to please Krishna, and someone is offering the arrow, so as he is doing the same, na, he is pleasing for pleasure of Krishna only.
Correct. So if he is offering the arrow because it is his, it is the dharma prescribed by the Dharma Shastras. And he may offer the fruits to Krishna, then that is not bhakti. But if he is offering the arrow because the Bhakti Shastras say, or if Krishna himself directly says, or if his guru says, if his bhakti guru says that you do this for the pleasure of Krishna, and then for that purpose if he does, then that offering of arrow is bhakti.
Okay.
But if he is offering the arrow because are Dharma Shastras say that according to my Varna I have to fight, so I will fight, and whatever fruits are there I will offer the fruit to Krishna, then that is not actually, because a bhakti yogi will never consult a Dharma Shastra to find out his duty. Because then he is not Bhakti Yogi. A Bhakti Yogi will ask the Bhakti Shastras to find out what his duty is. That is why Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is there. It talks about 64 items, duties, in terms of duties. So therefore, that is the point. So So therefore, it's not that easy. You know,
yes,
it is the intention, and then who is guiding? You know, what is the guiding light? Is it the Bhakti Shastras or the Dharma Shastras? That defines whether one is a devotee or a Nishkama Karma. Like that.
Thank you. Another point, Koji, suppose that means Guru, whatever Guru is ordering, Guru or whatever instructions are given, whether it is as per the Varnashrama or not, that is actually pure devotional service, and that he has to follow to please Krishna.
Yeah.
Whether it is for
means,
under that particular
Guru
in the
means that. Devotional Guru. I am not talking about
devotional guru.
Yeah.
Yeah. devotional guru. So whatever Guru is giving instruction to the disciple, if that is false under the Varnashrama or not, for him, that person, he has to understand that it is going to please Krishna. That is bhakti.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Thank you, Pujit. Thank you.
Hare. Thank you. Anything else anyone would like to add on this topic? Okay, there is a question. If the Dharma Shastras give the same guidance as the Bhakti Shastras do, then does it become bhakti? No. No, it does not become bhakti. Because according to Bhakti Shastras, it may say, the Bhakti Shastras may say that, you know, this will be pleasing to Krishna. So you fight. Let's say the Bhakti Shastra Guru says, the Bhakti Guru says, according to Bhakti Shastra, you fight because it will be pleasing to Krishna. And the Dharma Shastra Guru may also say, fight. So both are recommending fight. But the Bhakti Shastra Guru, the Bhakti Guru is suggesting to fight because it will be pleasing to Krishna. Whereas the Dharma Shastra is asking to fight because it is your Varna. It is the duty of your Varna. It is your Varna Dharma. So therefore, if one follows, even though the same activity has been prescribed, but if one follows it because the Dharma Shastra say, then that is Varnashram. If one follows because the Bhakti Shastras say and the Bhakti Guru says, then it is Bhakti. So the action can be the same, but for what purpose one is following that action, that defines whether it is Varnashram or Bhakti. Yes, Loknath Prabhu.
Yeah. In Mahabharata, it appears that the Pandavas, they wanted to fight to get their kingdom, which was according to their Dharma, Varnashram Dharma. And that was the reason that even at least five villages they wanted. And they solicited the help of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna was also their relative. But then during battle, before battle, there Arjuna got confused, and then he seeks shelter of Lord Krishna. So is it that previously he was following the whatever Satam Param, and afterwards, externally, afterwards he started fighting for Lord Krishna, because initially it doesn't appear that he was fighting to please Lord Krishna. It was only that Lord Krishna, as their relatives, was assisting them in their mission of getting the kingdom.
Well, I think we did discuss this before. I am not very sure if it was discussed in this particular forum. We did discuss that, you know, the way Mahabharata is meant for a particular kind of audience. So Mahabharata is basically a Dharma Shastra. So it is meant for people who basically do not have pure devotion, but they can be inspired to act according to their dharma. So Mahabharata is meant for that. So even, and Bhagavatam is meant for devotees primarily. So the Bhagavatam's narrative and the Mahabharata's narrative is most of the times quite different. You know, it narrates. So basically, even though Mahabharata, the actions of the Pandavas should be seen as stage play. You know, they are performing it purely for setting example for karma yogis, which will be mostly 95% of the people, or even you can say 99% of the people of this world would be qualified for karma. Okay, so also because they were devotees, and also because they were kings, they had the responsibility to set the right example for their subjects. Lokasangraha mevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. So Mahabharat, basically the actions of Pandavas in Mahabharat should be seen purely as an act as a drama performed on the stage for the purpose of setting the right example for their subjects. Okay, that is the narrative of Mahabharat. But Bhagavatam describes the actions of the Pandavas as they really were. So Bhagavatam describes behind the scenes, you know, when they don't have to set the example, who were the Pandavas off the stage? When they don't have to act to set the example for common men, who were the Pandavas? That is what Bhagavatam describes. The whole act of, even within Bhagavad Gita, it's not, Arjuna is in one sense mostly acting. As we saw before, none of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, none of them is applicable for Arjuna. None. Because he is a pure devotee. So when Bhagavad Gita speaks about Sakama Karma Yoga, as in Hatova Prapsisi Swargam Jitvava Bokshase Mahim, O Arjuna, if you fight and win, you will get the kingdom. If you fight and lose, you will go to Swarga. So either way, you will enjoy it. So fight. So this is the bait for a Sakama Karma Yogi, right? And Krishna also says, Karbanyeva Adhikaraste Mahaphaleshu Kadachana. You know, fight, but don't hanker for the material fruits of that duty that you are doing. Perform your duty, but don't be attached to the fruits. So this is Sakam, this is Nishkama Karma. See, instructions on Sakama Karma is not meant for Arjuna, because Arjuna is a pure devotee. Instructions on Nishkama Karma Yoga is not meant for Arjuna, because Arjuna is a pure devotee. Instructions on Jnana Yoga, which Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita, is also not meant for Arjuna, because Arjuna is a pure devotee. And instructions on Ashtanga Yoga given in Bhagavad Gita is also not meant for Arjuna, because Arjuna is a pure devotee. And even instructions on Bhakti given in Bhagavad Gita is not meant for Arjuna, because instructions are needed for sadhakas. Instructions are needed for those who do not have a natural inclination to follow that path. Arjuna need not be told, Manmana, Bhava Madbhakto, Madhyaji, Mam Namaskuru. You know, Arjuna need not be told, oh, remember me. Oh, Arjuna, you should remember me, become my devotee. Arjuna already is, he cannot forget Krishna. Arjuna is a spontaneous devotee. He has spontaneous devotion for Krishna. He need not be told, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. So any verse spoken in Bhagavad Gita in the form of an instruction, whether it is the instruction for Nishkama Karma Yogi, Sakama Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, Bhakti Yogi, any of these instructions, none of that is applicable for Arjuna, because Arjuna is a perfected devotee who performs devotional service out of spontaneous affection for Krishna. So where there is spontaneous affection, one does not need instructions. Instructions are needed where there is no spontaneous desire to perform those activities. For a sadhaka, instructions are needed. So we cannot gauge, the point that I'm trying to make is, we cannot gauge Arjuna's qualification based on any verse of Bhagavad Gita. Or we cannot gauge Arjuna's qualification, real qualification, off the stage qualification. We cannot gauge Arjuna's off the stage qualification based on any statement or any activity that Arjuna or any of the Pandavas performed in Mahabharata. The real Pandavas, who they really were, they manifest only in Srimad Bhagavatam. The description of those activities of Pandavas in Mahabharata is Loka Sangraha, is for setting the right example for those who are qualified for karma, is for those who have karma nishta, those who have faith in karma. For them, the activities of the Pandavas in Mahabharata are meant for. I don't know if it makes sense, but Loknathabhu, you can add more if you wish.
In Bhagavatam, a very short portion of their pastimes are described, like that Ashwatthama is releasing Brahmastra, and then Lord Krishna leaving for Dwarka. Apart from that, I think not much is described. Correct. And I think some Agni Purana or some Purana describes some pastimes of Arjuna and Krishna, but main source is Mahabharata only. But whatever source is there, that describes as you were discussing from the point of view of Param
Pandava. Correct, Ruji. Abhi, now I will tell you if Loknathu, you have children?
Yeah.
So you have a son or a daughter?
Daughters. I have three daughters.
You have three daughters. Okay. So if I say, look, I wish to know Loknath Prabhu, how is Loknath Prabhu as a father to his daughters? Okay. But I have only some recordings or CCTV footages of Loknath Prabhu inside the operation theater performing some cataract operations. Okay. So if I say, look, I don't have any CCTV footage of Loknath Prabhu at his home, so I just want to understand how good is Loknath Prabhu as a father to his three daughters. So, but I, what can I do? I have only limited material available, and whatever is available is, you know, CCTV footages of the operation theater. So, how can I come to a conclusion about Loknath Prabhu, the father, based on the footage that is available from the operation theater? So, yes, there is not much available, but enough is available to understand their heart, you know, what kind of devotees they were. So, it is the quality of material that is available, you know, Arjuna lamenting because of his separation from Krishna, you know, Arjuna surrendering to Krishna and taking full shelter of Krishna when the Brahmastra was shot, the prayers offered by Krishna, and Yudhishthir Maharaj, you know, trying to, you know, please Krishna and trying to make him stay back in Hastinapur because of his great attraction to Krishna. Kunti Maharani's prayers. I mean, I think this is more than sufficient material to establish the heart of the Pandavas. So we don't need, you know, lakhs and lakhs of verses describing their activities as which is described in the Mahabharata. But sufficient material is given in Bhagavatam which establishes the heart of the Pandavas.
So my point was there that any part time which is described in different Puranas, so we in Bhagavatam or devotional things, we take a particular aspect of it, and other scriptures take a particular aspect. So is it that we want to bring out a point from that, and that is what matters for us, for our distinct Krishna consciousness? Or is it that actually it was that way? That like we say, we frequently give example of Arjuna and Duryodhan fighting in Mahabharata, and Arjuna fighting to please Krishna, and Duryodhana fighting to for his selfishness, and that's why their destination was very different. But in Mahabharata, it doesn't appear that way. That it appears that Krishna is his ally, and he is also fighting to win the battle, and Duryodhana also fighting to win the battle, and because and the destination is same. Both of them go to heaven. Duryodhana because dies early, he goes early. When they go, already Duryodhana is there. Mm-hmm. So can we absolutely understand that? Because every party will say that quote scripture that the scripture says like this. So, because we are following bhakti, so we should accept. Should we accept it that that is what we can learn from it, or is there any way of understanding that that is what it was actually?
Prabhuji, many times scriptures also speak in slightly not so overt, explicit language. Like for example, it is mentioned that in Mahabharata, it is mentioned that the Pandavas, because of some of the inappropriate activities that they performed, they had to move in the direction of hell. It is mentioned. Or sometimes it is mentioned that they went to hell. Or it is mentioned that they went in the direction of hell. But Bhagavatam says, in Bhagavatam, Yamaraj himself says, Jihvana Vakti Bhagavad Gunanamadeyam Chetaschana Smaratita Charanaravindam Krishnayano Namati Yat Shiraye Kadapi Tanana Yaddam Asato Akrita Vishnu Pratyan. So Yamaraj says, the standing instruction to Yamaraj, to the Yamadutas, this is from Yamaraj. He says, oh Yamadutas, you can bring to me only those people whose tongue has never once chanted the name of Krishna. Jihvana Bhakti Bhagavad Gunanamadeyam Chetaschana Smaratita Charanaravindam, or one whose mind has never ever thought about the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishnayano Namati Yat Shiraye Kadapi, or one whose head has never offered obeisances to Krishna. Tan Anayadvam, only bring those people. Others are not fit to be brought to hell. This is a standing instruction to the Yamadutas given by Yamaraj. This is as described in Bhagavatam. So, according to this condition, how is it possible for the Pandavas who were, described as Krishnatma Jivita, you know, their life and soul was Krishna. So, how is it possible for such people to go to hell? Now, this is for devotees to understand. But person who does not have qualification for devotion, he is qualified only for karma, he has to see everything in terms of dharma adharma. Dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. So that is the only language he understands. So therefore, if you see, you know, it is mentioned that even Parikshit Maharaj's storyline, if you see in Mahabharat, Parikshit Maharaj actually is, when he garlands Shamik Rishi at the end of his life, you know, and then Shringi curses him to die in 7 days, then, there is no mention in Mahabharata about Parikshit Maharaj sitting and hearing Bhagavatam and all that. So Parikshit Maharaj goes to a tall building to escape from the bite of the, the serpent, and somehow in a basket of fruits or something like that, from a fruit comes one serpent and bites him and he dies. So the essential narrative of Mahabharata is that, look, you may be the king of the world. You may have lived a quite pious life throughout your life, but if you commit any adharmic activity, then you will have to experience the karma of that. You cannot escape that karma. So that is the essential message of Mahabharata or any Dharma Shastra for that matter. Dharma will save you, adharma will doom you. You will be doomed because of adharma, and dharma will save you. So this is the narrative, and the stories also would be presented according to that narrative. So whether it is Bhagavatam or Mahabharata, Parikshit Maharaj died because of Takshak only. Okay, there is no. But what was really there in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, that Bhagavatam presents. So Bhagavatam presents that. So what is that? They say Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnugata. Dvijopasrishta Kuhakastakshakova. Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnugata. That's what Parikshit Maharaj says. Oh, whatever may be that may be a snake or a demon or whatever it is that the Brahman has created, he can come and bite me anytime. You just please sit and speak Krishna Katha to me. I am very eager to hear Krishna Katha. This is the Parikshit Maharaj actually. But this Parikshit Maharaj will not be understood by those who do not have bhakti. So for them, they have to at least be brought under the platform of dharma adharma. So therefore, many of these dharma shastras which narrate, like I shared the other day also, even many of the narratives, even Vritrasura's pastime. Okay. Matsya Puran says that Bhagavatam is that scripture in which Vritrasura's pastime is described. Now, is Bhagavatam the only scripture in which Vritrasura's pastime occurs? No. There are many other shastras. There are some Puranas in which Vritrasura's pastime comes. There also, if you see, Vritrasura is an asura. And the fight is between Vritrasura and Indra only. And just like Bhagavatam, Indra kills Vritrasura only. There is no difference in that. But if you see Bhagavatam's narrative, the hero in that whole narration is actually Vritrasura. And Vritrasura is glorified. Vritrasura's prayers are presented. And at some point, Indra is wondering, who is the demon and who is the devotee here? Who is the demon and who is the demigod? Here is Vritrasura, who has much more faith in the Lord, and I am supposed to be the Lord's representative. I don't have any faith. Okay. So literally in that whole narration, the way the pastime is narrated in Bhagavatam, very clearly Vritrasura comes out as the hero. Even though Vritrasura dies, but he is the hero. Okay. And Bhagavatam presents that whole narrative as victory of devotion. Pure devotion over mixed devotion. That is the presentation, even though the storyline is same. But because it is meant for inspiring, practicing pure devotees. But when other shastras, which are dharma shastra like narrations, there the focus is completely changed. So there, real victory is who survives, he is victorious. Who dies, he is the loser. So that presents, that glorifies Indra as Vritraha, the killer of Vritra. And the whole narration is presented in such a way that as if it is victory of dharma over adharma. Same story. Okay. But audience are different. A different audience. When they have different qualification, then the narratives of the shastras change. So depending on for whom that particular shastra is meant for, you know, it gives a totally different narrative. So which is what really happened? That is the question. You know, what exactly happened? You know, sometimes acharyas explain kalpa bed. In some kalpas this happened, in some kalpas that happened. But the point is, or sometimes they give Brahmanda bed. In a different Brahmanda this episode happened, or in this particular Brahmanda this episode happened. But what it is, you know, we have to understand that these great personalities like Pandavas, they have dual role. They perform their act as setting examples for those, for the karma yogis, but they themselves are devotees. So off the stage, how they act, what is there in their heart, Bhagavatam narrates that. But what they do on the stage, Mahabharat and other such dharma shastras narrate such pastimes. Is that relevant, or you would like to add some more points? Lokanath Prabhu. Lokanath Prabhu.
Yes, thank you.
Anything else anyone would like to share, ask, add on this theme? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So we have been discussing from the first verse. Okay, there is something in the chat box. Oh, there are some points in the chat box. Okay. Krishna also encourages Arjuna as Partha, Kaunteya, etc. Various names indicating his Varnashram Dharma and inspires him to fight. If he is following that instruction, will it be bhakti? Well, that's why I am trying to explain to you that, you know, within the whole narrative of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is totally under the Yoga Maya. So, he under the Yoga Maya potency, he acts like a person, sometimes he acts like a person who is qualified for Sakama Karma Yoga. Sometimes he acts like a person who is qualified for Nishkama Karma Yoga. Sometimes he acts like a person. He does not act. Actually, he is made to feel that he is qualified. He starts valuing those things. He starts valuing happiness. He starts valuing dharma. He starts valuing liberation. Like that. So all this is under the wheel of Yoga Maya. Because Yoga Maya is putting him through all of that so that proper instructions for Sakama Karma Yogis, Nishkama Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis and Bhakti Yogis can come through the agency of Arjuna. Right? Sarvopanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsaha Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamritam Mahat. So, Sarva Upanishado Gavo, you know, all the Upanishads are compared to cows. The milkman is Krishna. So, you need an expert milkman who can milk, right? But the cow will not give milk if the cow's Vatsalya is not kindled. The motherly affection of the cow is not kindled. So, so the calf is Arjuna. So Arjuna is used as a decoy, you know, a bait by the milkman to inspire the cow to give milk. But ultimately the milkman wants the milk to sell it. You know, the Sudhir Bhokta, the real relishers or enjoyers of that milk are common men. So, Partho Vatsaha Sudhir Bhokta. You know, Krishna, Arjuna is like the, you can say, like the calf, a decoy, a bait. So ultimately, Gita is not for Arjuna. So, none of the verses of Gita is meant for Arjuna actually. So he is trying to, he says Partha, Kaunteya, etc. to inspire him in that way. And Arjuna will, within Bhagavad Gita, he will get inspired in that way also. Sometimes he'll become angry, sometimes he'll get inspired and all that. Why? Because Yoga Maya is covering him and he is making him feel like that. But in reality, when the wheel of Yoga Maya is removed, when Arjuna is addressed as Partha, O son of Pritha, then probably Arjuna may think, oh, my devotee, my mother had so much affection for Krishna. Like that he may think. You know, not because, oh, my mother was a Kshatrani, so I am also a Kshatriya like that. Not, he will not think like that. But he will think like that within Bhagavad Gita because he is under the cover of Yoga Maya. Right? Now, the question, next question is Gita essentially a Bhakti Shastra as it speaks about many other processes also? Yeah. Gita is conclusively a Bhakti Shastra. The conclusion of Gita is Bhakti Shastra. But it does give very valuable instructions for other practitioners also. Right. Okay. There is, another question here. Krishna, okay, yeah, I have answered this question. Okay. Are there any further questions before we move on to the next verse? If there is none, then we will continue. So the next point here, Krishna says, Arjuna says, Vyamishrenaiva vakyena buddhim mohaya sivame tadekam vada nischitya yena shreyoham apnuyam. So he says, me buddhim mohaya siva. You bewilder me. Krishna, Arjuna is accusing Krishna of bewildering him. How? Vyamishrenaiva vakyena. With your mixture of words, with your word jugglery, or, you know, you are telling two different things. By telling two different things, you are actually bewildering me, he says. Tat ekam vada nischitya. Now speak clearly one thing. Yena aham shreyaha apnuyam. So that I may attain the highest benefit. Tell me one thing. What exactly you want me to do? On one side you say, do bhakti. On another side you say, fight. So tell me one thing. Bhakti means shravanam kirtanam. Fight means dharma. Varnashram dharma. What exactly you want me to do? Tell me clearly. This is what Arjuna is asking. So here, so this is Krishna is this is a conversation, the internal conversation that is happening, so which is not explicitly mentioned here. So Arjuna has the question of Arjuna was, so Arjuna said, if bhakti is superior, why are you asking me to engage in this ghastly warfare? This is Arjuna's question. Okay. So, so then Krishna answers. So this is Krishna's answer. Krishna says, oh my friend Arjuna, it is true that bhakti beyond the gunas is supreme. But since that is obtained only by the mercy of my great pure devotees in an unexpected manner, it is not attained by the efforts of the individual. Therefore, I have given a blessing to you. Be transcendental to the gunas. Be transcendental to the gunas by transcendental bhakti. Traigunya vishaya veda nistraigunyo bhavarjuna. So he says, when this blessing matures, you will attain bhakti by such unexpected mercy of the pure devotee. Okay. So he says, I did give you blessings that may you become a devotee. Nistraigunyo bhava. When will that blessing mature? When you get the unexpected mercy of a pure devotee, then that blessing will mature. Okay. So therefore he says, as it is fitting to the present circumstances, directing you to engage in activities also valid using the words karmanyevadhikaraste, you are qualified for action. So he says, therefore I told, yes, O Arjuna, if I did say that bhakti is the best, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, give up all these activities within the three modes like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and practice Shuddha Bhakti Yoga. I did tell that. But any activity should be performed according to Adhikar. You do not have Adhikar for Shuddha Bhakti right now. You have Adhikar only for Nishkama Karma Yoga. Since you have adhikar only for Nishkama Karma Yoga, therefore I am encouraging you, therefore I told karmanyeva adhikaraste, you are qualified for karma only, maafaleshu kadachana. So this is what Arjuna's, Krishna's response. So Arjuna's question. So Arjuna's question was, in the previous verse, Arjuna's question. Okay. If bhakti is superior, why are you asking me to engage in this ghastly war for fighting? True, Arjuna, I did say that bhakti is superior because it is beyond the three modes. And I also gave you blessing that you also transcend beyond the three modes. But just because the blessing is there, you are not going to immediately transcend. It will take some time. But currently you are qualified for karma, na? That's why I am asking you to fight. That's why I am asking you to fight according to your dharma. So now, Arjuna's second question. Arjuna is asking Arjuna's second question. Now, or you can say follow-up question. So Arjuna is asking, then why do you not clearly tell me to engage in activity? You throw me in an ocean of doubt. Sometimes you tell, do this. Sometimes you tell, oh, you know what? Actually, bhakti is better. Now, if you tell me bhakti is better than karma, then I will understand that you are instructing me to do bhakti only, na? So you are telling bhakti is superior to karma, and then you are telling me do karma. What am I to understand? Do bhakti, do karma, what is this? Tell me clearly what I should do. And you also told me nistrai gunyo bhava Arjuna. Oh Arjuna, this Vedas talk only about the three gunas. You should transcend the three gunas. Transcend the three gunas means perform bhakti, na? So when I am trying to do bhakti, you are telling, no. Karmanye vadikaraste ma phaleshu tadachana. Don't engage in karma. Engage in your karma, but don't be attached to your fruits. What exactly you want me to do? Bhakti, karma, what is this? So then, why you are telling me both things? Vyamishrenaiva vakyena buddhi mohe sivame. You are sometimes talking about do bhakti, sometimes talking about do karma. What exactly you want me to do? So he says, you bewilder my intelligence by those words which are a mixture of various meanings. Vyamishrena. Though you have mentioned about action, karmanyevadikaraste, you also speak of jnana using the word yoga in such statements as the following. So the analysis of Vyamishrena is visheshataha, off or completely, and mishra means mixture. So you are particularly completely mixing. Vyamish, these are like, you know, very confusing words like that. So he says, you did say yogastha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dananjaya siddhi asiddhayoho samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. Okay. So he did say yogastha. Okay. So what Krishna meant was karma yogastha, being situated nishkama karma yogastha, being situated in nishkama karma yoga, kuru karmani, perform your duties, sangam tyaktva, while giving up attachment for those duties, and be equal in success and failure, and that kind of equal mindedness is called yoga. This is what Krishna told. But Arjuna understood that Arjuna understood yogastha means jnana yogastha. Like that he understood. He who is engaged in nishkama karma yoga gives up both pious and impious reactions. Therefore, engage in this yoga. Among all types of action, this performance without attachment is a skill. This is what Krishna told. Okay. So, through this he is he is indicating you should fight. But at the same time, he says, and you speak of knowledge in such statements as yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati, when your intelligence has completely crossed the denseness of illusion. Okay. So confusion arises in Arjuna's mind because of the use of the word buddhi and shama. Because buddhi means intelligence and shama means where does he say shama? samatvam. He says sama. Where does he say shama? Shama is sense control, right? Vyamish, sorry. He says yogastha kur karmani sangam tetva dhananjaya siddhya siddhya samaputva. Samatvam yoga uchate. And then he also says yadate mohakalilam buddhir vyaditarishya tadagantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya. So, okay, anyway. Confusion arises in Arjuna's mind because of the use of the word buddhi. Buddhi, intelligence is connected to jnana. That is how Arjuna is seeing. And he also uses the word sama, not shama actually. Samatvam, equanimity. Okay. Equanimity is also connected to jnana. You know, that's how Arjuna is seeing. Fighting means you have to see friend and enemy. You cannot be equal. You know, you cannot be equanimous. Siddhi asiddhiyo samabhutva. You know, don't forget about winning or losing. Success or failure. I mean, this is not possible for a person fighting on the battlefield. This is possible for a person sitting and meditating on Brahman. So he thought, now, why you are mixing two things? How can they two be together? So, yogastha kuru karmani sangam tekva. So, you say kuru karmani, perform actions, and at the same time, you say samatvam, be equanimous. I mean, equanimity, tranquility. So, when I hear these things, I can only imagine a person, a yogi sitting and meditating. I can't imagine a person fighting on the battlefield talking about equanimity. So you are in the same words, you are talking about equanimity also, and you are talking about fighting also. Why you are mixing the two? Either I can fight or I can be equanimous. How can I be equanimous and fight on the battlefield? You know, this is very confusing to me. What are you talking about? So confusion arises in Arjuna's mind because of the use of the word buddhi and sama, which are associated with jnana. In Karmanyavadikaraste, the Lord speaks about complete renunciation of the fruits. And by the end of the chapter 2, Krishna shows that nishkama karma matures into jnana. This is nishkama karma yoga in its mature stage. Okay, how nishkama karma yoga eventually matures into jnana? In 2.3, he explains that. You know, how when one performs actions, one's varnashram duties in a detached way, how that naturally matures into jnana. That is described. And then, what is that? He says, in 2.53, he says, samadhav achala buddhis tada yogam avapsis. Person develops a very fixed intelligence, he says. And then Arjuna asks this question, Sthita Pragyasya Kabasha, what are the symptoms of such a person who has achieved that fixed intelligence? Like that he asks. So, Sukha says that how naturally over a period of time this Nishkama Karma Yoga matures into jnana. So, Krishna very nicely connects it. But Arjuna gets confused. He said, I can do only one thing. I can do either jnana, which is equanimous, sit and meditate, or I can engage in karma, fighting on the battlefield. How is both possible simultaneously? This doubt Arjuna is having. So therefore, he is asking, why are you confusing me? You're talking both things. You say fight also. You say be equipoised also. You know, how is it possible? You know, this is what Arjuna is asking. And now Krishna is going to answer this question. Any quick comments, discussion points, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay, let's continue. So now Krishna is going to answer this question. Okay. So Krishna says, श्री भगवान च लोकेस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञान योगेन संख्यानां कर्म योगेन योगिनां. सो कृष्ण सेस् मया पुरा प्रोक्ता. मै डियर अर्जुन, ऐ हाव स्पोकन इन द लास्ट चैप्टर द्विविधा निष्ठा. ऐ हाव स्पोकन अबाउट टू टाइप्स ऑफ क्वालिफिकेशन अस्मिन् लोके फॉर पीपल ऑफ दिस वर्ल्ड. So there are two types, there are people with two different types of qualification in this world, right? So he says jnana yogena sankhyanam, those qualified for jnana are known as practitioners of jnana yoga, and karma yogena yoginam, and those qualified for nishkama karma are known as practitioners of karma yoga. So he says these are not he is basically giving the way in which the shastras speak. He says shastras, Arjuna, understand that there are people with two different types of qualification, and for these two kinds of people different types of instructions are there. So there are people qualified for jnana yoga, and for them there are instructions for instructions are separate for them, and there are people qualified for karma yoga and instructions are separate for them. Okay, so therefore therefore you should accept those instructions depending upon your qualification. If you are qualified for karma, then you should accept the instructions which are meant for a karma yogi. And if you are qualified for jnana, then you should accept the instructions which are meant for a jnana yogi. That's it. That's what here Krishna is suggesting to Arjuna. Jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So here the Lord answers, you have asked me to indicate clearly one of either karma yoga or jnana yoga, since I have explained both in an impartial way. I have explained to you both karma yoga and jnana yoga in the second chapter. You are telling me, tell me one, why you are telling both? So he says, the two processes that I have explained are for persons qualified for karma and jnana according to different circumstances. It is not that these people are equally suitable for liberation. Not that one who is qualified for karma and one who is qualified for jnana are not equally suited for liberation. They both have different qualifications, so therefore different instructions only have to be given. This is now explained in two verses. I have explained in the previous chapter, pura prokta, two types of qualification. For those engaged in knowledge, who have risen to the state of knowledge by purity of the heart, there is steadiness in jnana yoga. That is their limited field. So one starts with being a materialist. Okay. So he accepts the shastras. When he accepts the shastras for enjoyment, he becomes a sakama karma yogi. Okay, and then when the sakama karma yogi becomes detached from material fruits, okay, he becomes a nishkama karma yogi. Okay, so he becomes detached from material fruits, but his heart is not free of anarthas. Okay. So he is a nishkama karma yogi. But when his heart, by practice of nishkama karma yogi, when his heart becomes purified, then he is qualified for Jnana Yoga, and such a person meditates on Brahman. Okay, he meditates on self-realization and Paramatma realization, and then he attains liberation. Okay, so there are, so the instructions for this person will be different from the instructions for this person, and the instruction for this person will be different from the instructions for this person, and the instruction for this person will be different from the instructions of this person. So when you see difference in instructions, Krishna is telling, understand that these different instructions are for two different people. Okay, these instructions are for two different people. So that's what he is telling. For those engaged in knowledge, who have risen to the state of knowledge, okay, he is talking about this, by purity of heart. Because how did their heart become pure? By practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, their heart became pure. So for those whose heart has become pure, purified by knowledge, you know, Nishkama Karma Yoga, who have risen to the state of knowledge because of purity of heart, there is steadiness in Jnana Yoga. So they can steadily practice Jnana Yoga. That is their limited field. Okay. They are known in this world for cultivation of knowledge. This is shown in verses such as the following. Okay. So, Tani Sarvani Sanyamya Yukta Asita Matpara Vashehi Yasyendriyani Tasya Prajna Pratishtita. Okay. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the yogi who is devoted to me after restraining all the senses will remain seated unresponsive to sense objects. He whose senses have thus been brought under control is a sthitapragya. So a sthitapragya is a jnana yogi. So a sthitapragya is a qualified jnana yogi whose heart is purified of anarthas. Therefore, perfect sense control is possible for him. Perfect sense control is possible for such a person. For those who are not able to ascend to the platform of knowledge because of impurities of the heart, there is a means to attend to that platform. And that means is Nishkama Karma Yoga. For those who have ascended to the platform of knowledge, for them, the practice is Jnana Yoga. So Krishna will instruct them for practicing Jnana. Will instruct for those who could not ascend to the platform of knowledge because of impurities in the heart. So Krishna will instruct them to practice Nishkama Karma Yoga. Right, they become fixed in Nishkama Karma Yoga activities without desired offered to me. They are known as those engaged in karma. Verses such as the following illustrate this yoga. So this was 2.54 to 2.72. The last section of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita was all speaking about Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga. You know, the Sthita Pragya is a Jnana Yogi. Whereas he says that these verses, so the following verse means the next verse that he is going to speak now, that is going to speak about Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions here before we move on? Yes, Sachi Pranto.
What I understood is, as a person who is materialistic before and needs an accept Shastra, they become Satam Karma Yoga, then he practices for Nishkam Karma Yoga. So when Nishkam Karma Yoga, he still has anarthas, and when he purifies his heart, then he becomes steady in his devotion and is qualified for Jnana Yoga. Is it correct?
Not steady in his devotion, steady in his knowledge.
Study in knowledge, sir. Study in knowledge, and
yeah.
Then he's qualified for Jnana Yoga.
Correct.
Yeah. Can you go for the next slide? If you are showing the slide, I will just.
This one or the next one?
Here you are explaining Stuta Pratnya.
Stuta
Pratnya means, who is practicing Nishkam Karma Yoga?
No.
Or he is...
After practicing Nishkam Karma Yoga, his heart has become purified. Now he is qualified to practice Jnana Yoga and he is practicing Jnana Yoga.
Stuta Pratnya means he is qualified for Jnana Yoga.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other question, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay. So, next verse. If there is no further questions, we'll move on. I think there was something in the chat box, I think. What are the activities of a Jnana Yogi? So the activities of a Jnana Yogi are described in the third canto, 27th chapter. Practice of Jnana Yoga is described by Kapila Dev in third canto, 27th chapter. What are the various limbs? There are some limbs of Ashtanga Yoga also they practice. Some limbs of Bhakti Yoga they do meditate on the form of the Lord, and they do meditate on the conclusions of the Upanishads. They study the Upanishads and meditate on the Brahman within the on the soul within the heart for self-realization. Further, they meditate on the Paramatma for Paramatma realization, and by that they attain liberation. Those things are described in the third canto, 27th chapter, Kapila Dev's teachings. Okay. So then in the fourth verse, Krishna says, Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnute na cha sanyasanadeva siddhim samadigacchati. So basically, Krishna is telling Jnana Yoga or Karma Yoga is not a choice. Okay. It's not a choice. Arjun. Kya banna hai, karma yogi ya jnana yogi? Batao. Main uske hisab se I will give you instructions. No. It is not about choice. It is about qualification. So someone cannot say, abhi sanyasi matlab kya hai? Sab karmon ko chod do. Give up all karma. Go to the forest. Sanyasi. And kshatriya matlab kya hai? Go to the battlefield, fight. Is this the definition of sannyasi and a karma yogi? He says no. He says karmanam anarambhan purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Without performing of prescribed karmas, a person cannot attain purity. So this he says the means of attaining purity, which is the qualification for jnana. Okay. The means of attaining purity, which is qualification for jnana, is to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. So he says, Na karmanam anarambhan purusham naishkarmyam purushoshnate. Without performance of prescribed karmas, a person cannot attain purity. Sanyasanadeva, just by renouncing, nacha siddhim samadigacchati. Just by renunciation of activities, impure person cannot attain perfection. Okay. So, to perform Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga is not a choice. It is a question of qualification. So, if a person, by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, if his heart has become purified, then he can take up to sannyas. So, Jnana Yoga means sannyas. Then he can take to sannyas. But if someone says, I see the sannyasis are very pure and these grihasthas are very attached and impure. I want to be pure, so let me also become a sannyasi. Okay, this is wrong understanding. He says, no, you got it wrong. They did not become pure because they chose the path of sannyas, but it is the other way around. They chose the path of sannyas because they became pure. Now the question is, how did they become pure? The answer is, because they perfectly followed the grihastha ashram. That's what he's telling. Or in this case, so Arjuna is thinking, sannyas mein janjat nahi hai. You know, in sannyas there is no problem. To maintain purity is very easy. But in grihastha ashram, or when I have to perform my dharma of my varna and ashrama, to maintain my purity is very difficult. So therefore, I will take up the sannyas. So Krishna says, wait, you have understood it totally wrong. He says, sannyas will not lead to purity. Purity is the qualification for sannyas. If you have become pure, then you are qualified for sannyas. Sannyas or jnana yoga will not lead to purification. One who is purified can accept sannyas or jnana yoga. Then how to become pure? The means of becoming pure is to perform your prescribed duties. To perform your varnashram duties. Perform the duties of your varna. Perform the duties of your ashrama. That is the only way of purifying yourself. And once you have become purified by your practice, by the practice of your varna dharma and ashrama dharma, then you become qualified to practice jnana yoga, when you can give up your varna activities and ashrama activities. That's what he's telling. So he says, this verse explains that without purity of heart, jnana does not arise. By not engaging in activities recommended in the scriptures, one cannot attain jnana. Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnate. By neglecting to perform one's prescribed duties, one cannot become qualified for jnana. One with an impure heart cannot attain jnana by renunciation of activities recommended in the scriptures. Sanyas vesh dharan karke koi sanyasi ban nahi jata hai. I mean, this is the traditional Vedic sannyas. The traditional Vedic sannyas, there is a purity of heart is a prerequisite. One does not become pure by accepting sannyas. Only a person who has purified himself by practice of his varna dharma and ashrama dharma, only he is fit for sannyas. It is like thinking that, are, yeah, IIT ka campus mein sab log intelligent hai. Everyone is so intelligent in this IIT campus. Therefore, I will also enter the campus, then I will also become intelligent. So he says, Baba, you understood it wrong. It is not that they became intelligent because of entering the IIT campus. They were granted entrance into IIT campus only because they showed a very good track record of being intelligent. Only intelligent people were allowed inside. So you saw that all the sannyasis are very pure. All the grihasthas are not so pure. So I will accept sannyas, I will also become pure. He said, no. Only pure people were granted entrance into sannyas ashram. Then how does one become pure? He says, be a good grihastha. Follow your varna, follow your ashrama nicely. That way you will become pure. And then once you become pure, then you will become qualified for sannyas. That is what here Krishna is explaining to Arjuna. Any final comments before we wind up for the day? Any questions, comments? Yes, Sachi Paranthu.
So, Prabhuji, the person has to get the purity of the heart. The person has to follow all the stages, like suppose as per his Varnashrama. Like first you
a person to... means one who is qualified for karma, one who is qualified for bhakti, the process of bhakti will purify. Cheto darpana marjanam.
How?
So this is a comparison between karma yoga and jnana yoga. We are not talking about bhakti yoga here. For one who is qualified for bhakti, purification of heart happens by practice of bhakti yoga only. And that purification of heart is described as anarthana vritti. So anarthana vritti for a karma yogi happens by nishkama karma yoga. Anarthana vritti for a bhakti yogi happens by bhakti yoga only.
So in that case, Arjuna is bhakti yogi. If you consider Arjuna as bhakti yogi, he need not have to perform the activities as is for his karma.
Yeah, he didn't perform because he was fighting because Krishna asked him to fight. Therefore, that act of fighting is not a varnashram duty. It is a bhakti yogi. But it is bhakti yoga.
Yeah. Clear, clear. Thank you.
Anything else before we wind up for the day? Okay. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion in the next Friday. But this chapter is a very important chapter. Many very foundational concepts will be clarified here in this chapter. So please try to attend and please participate in this discussion. It will be very fruitful. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.